Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Binge Subgroup Coaching Call today. I am so excited to be here with you guys today. If you do not know me, I am Jane Pilger, also known as Corinne's bestie. So if you ever hear Corinne talking about her friend Jane or going on Marco Polo walks with Marco Polo, her friend on Marco Polo in the morning, that is me. I also have my own coaching business over at janepilger.com, where I coach women specifically on binge eating and body trust. You can always find me over there. And the other place you can always find me is in our Facebook group, the Binge Support Subgroup on Facebook. So if you are not in the Binge Support Subgroup on Facebook, you can find us there. If you are joining us here live on the call, Coach Betsy is with us in the chat. She will give you links for all the things that I mention. And for those of you who are listening to the replay, you will find all of those links in the show notes. So what we're going to do tonight really is just talk. I would love to coach as many people as possible who are on this call. So if you have any specific questions, anything, if you don't want to come on camera, but you have questions, you want coaching on something specifically, please put it in the Q&A and I will address it there. If you would like to be coached, please just raise your hand. And what I'd love to do today is really just coach as many people as possible on the topic. The thing that's so amazing about coaching on any subject, but I think especially when it comes to binging, is there's so much to be learned watching somebody else get coached, listening to somebody else get coached, because you can really, sometimes when we're watching somebody else get coached, we're able to see things a little more clearly because we're not in the middle of it. We're not in the thick of it. But you can always, no matter what is going on, you can always listen to a coaching call, listen to what somebody's getting coached on, and ask yourself, how can I apply this to myself? How can I see myself in this? Where can I use this for my own personal journey? So I really encourage anybody who is maybe listening after the fact or isn't quite ready to raise their hand or to ask a question yet, take this time and don't just consume this information, okay? I want you to, whatever you take out of this call, I want you to make the intention that you are going to apply. Take one thing that you get out of this call that you are going to put into action. It seems like when we show up for these coaching calls, when we listen to these calls on replay, it seems like we're doing something really great for ourselves. But if we're just being active listeners and we're not actually taking the next step, we're not actually doing the thing that we're learning about or that we have an insight about, we're not really making the forward progress towards the person that we want to become. So I encourage you to really just listen with the lens of, all right, what can I take out of this that I can then leave this call and apply to my very direct situation? Okay, so I also am the author of the Trusting Your Body course. If you have not taken the Trusting Your Body course, it is an amazing course. It is, you can find it on the website under self-study programs. Then you just scroll down until you find Trusting Your Body. It is an amazing course that really helps you implement and kind of understand how to work with your body, how to tune in with your body, how to understand how your body works in terms of like your nervous system. There are some very special considerations for bingers within the within that course that can that you might find might be really useful for you. So if you have not taken the course and you're done with the No BS Weight Loss course and binging is something that you struggle with, I highly recommend that you take that class. if you took it maybe back in April when we first offered it live, you might go back and revisit it every time. Whenever you listen to, if it's a call, if it's a course, if it's anything, you're going to get something new every time because you're always listening with a fresh brain. Your brain today, where you are today, the thoughts and the results that you have today are different than they were several months ago. So that's why we don't ever want to just be like, oh yeah, done that, check the box, move on. We can always learn something new. And, you know, just like anything, you might hear something once and take one thing away from it. You hear it again and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even remember that she said that. I didn't even like catch that the first time. So many great resources for you there. But let's get down to business, shall we? All right. I see we've got some questions in the Q&A, and then we've got a couple of hands raised. Go ahead and raise your hand if you would like to be coached. We are going to do some coaching tonight. All right. I've got a question. Anonymous says, I really don't feel like I can eat any sugar. As I eat sugar, I eat more and more. So what I would recommend for you, Anonymous, is to really get curious about, just to really get curious about sugar. Is it, what I would be curious for you, when you're eating sugar, what are you thinking about it? Like, what's happening in that process? Are you thinking, once I start, I just can't stop? If you come into a situation where you are going to eat, it doesn't matter if it's kale or sugar, or, you know, a birthday cake, kale or cake, let's say, right? It doesn't matter if it's kale or cake. When you come into the kale or the cake, what you're thinking about that item of food as you come into it really is very much going to set up your experience. Now, I do not want to pretend that there is not a different biological response that happens within the body when somebody eats kale versus when somebody eats cake. It is a little bit different. But what is very most primary is going to be the dialogue that's in your head. What are you telling yourself about the kale? What are you telling yourself about the cake? So many times sugar, you know, kind of sugar gets demonized as this terrible thing. And it's very common to have the thought, I can't stop once I start eating it. But if you're having that thought before you even start, you're going to be so much more likely to be in that situation in the first place. So I would really start there with just getting really curious about what you're thinking about that in the process. I would also look at, are you planning sugar on a regular basis? If you think that it's very black and white and you can either have no sugar or you are eating all of the sugar, it might be interesting to kind of experiment with what might be more of an in-between balance. Where can you actually plan sugar into your day on a regular basis, but in more of moderate amounts, so it doesn't feel so black or white, so all or nothing? Those are a couple places that you might be able to start. Okay, next question. I'm a shame eater. If I eat it and no one sees, it doesn't count. And that's what's going on in my head, is what Kim is saying. My husband is gone for 6 weeks and I'm afraid I will eat everything in sight. So Kim, first of all, it's amazing that you recognize this. You recognize that what you're thinking about. So what you're thinking is, if nobody sees, it doesn't count. Now, I would ask yourself, is that really true? Does it really not count? Like, and what does that even mean? Like, I would get out your journal, if you are a person that journals, and really just get curious, does it really count or does it not count? Like, is that kind of a logical thought? I would also get really curious about your relationship with yourself when you're by yourself. So I know for me, for a long time, I used to have a hard time really just being with myself, being by myself, because what I discovered was that the narrative, that kind of dialogue going on in the back of my head, was always focused on what was wrong. It was always focused on what I wasn't doing well, what I, you know, all of the things, basically all of the things that were wrong, all of the things that where I wasn't measuring up. And so because that dialogue was always going on, I was often trying to escape it. So either through being busy, through eating, whatever. So you might look at, what is that dialogue that's going on? What is the dialogue that happens for you while you are eating, before you eat, during, while you eat, and even after you eat? So it's likely that if you are eating a certain way in secret, not around other people, there's probably a lot more going on in your mind and in your head around really just kind of you as an eater, what you're eating, why you're eating it, what you should or shouldn't be eating. So what I would really do is just get really curious. And if you can, just get out a piece of paper, get out a journal, and just have it next to you when you eat. And so you can kind of write down, like, turn the volume up on what is actually happening in your mind when you are sitting down to eat the foods, and, you know, before, during, after. Just get really clear, because if we're not clear on the dialogue that's happening in our minds, we can't really do anything about it if we can't actually see what is there to begin with, right? So it's not the food itself isn't creating our experience. What's creating our experience is the conversation that's happening in our head. And we're often not even aware of it. So what we want to do is we want to turn up that awareness. What is going on? And if we can do that without judgment, like, what is going on in my mind when I sit down to eat? What's going on in my mind? What is different when I sit down to eat by myself, when my husband's out of town, versus when I am with my husband or when I'm with somebody else? What's going on there? Am I having different thoughts? Or am I thinking, when somebody else is around, am I thinking, oh man, I would really love to, you know, just keep eating or to go, you know, eat all of these things, but my husband is here, and so therefore I won't do that. Maybe that's the thought, you know, but really getting clear on what is that dialogue kind of going on around it. Okay, let's do some live coaching. Carrie, I am going to promote you to panelist who will come on and do some coaching. All right, Carrie is coming on board.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. This is my first time being coached. I Yay! Joined in March, and
good for you. First of all, just thanks. Give yourself some excellent acknowledgement for raising your hand and getting coached live. That is amazing.
Thank you. So what I would love to get coaching on is, I think I like the root feeling is feeling like that I'm weak and not strong enough. So like, I've noticed a lot of things. I've been doing some discovery worksheets, not regularly, but doing planning and assessing, and notice, like, for instance, that when I sit on the couch and I'm home alone, that's often like a danger time for me, so to speak, when I'm like choosing to eat something and I'm not hungry. So I've noticed that. And then I was trying to build like an interrupt, like I'm really going to try to not like have like snacks on the couch. Like if I'm hungry and I want a snack, I'm going to do it at the table. And so I'm working through that. And I'm remembering also that like what you guys say about like change, like it's 20% of the time and then 80% of the time. But I had a period of like 7 days in a row that I just like binged every night. And I just kind of like gave up. Like I just stopped talking to my accountability partner and stopped planning and assessing. And I'm just trying to work through like that feeling of feeling like not strong enough. Like yeah. I've been working through this stuff for a few years before I did this program, but just kind of staying stuck.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I really commend you for the bravery to get on this call. I know it's not easy. I have been where you are right now, and you know, I just you are receiving a lot of love and a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion. So, you know, really just give yourself some acknowledgement for, you know, just where you are right now. Absolutely. It's a big step. Let me ask you this. Let's go back to the last time, just so we can kind of get maybe even a little bit more specific. So the last time that you binged, tell me when was that?
It was probably last week.
Okay.
But I don't remember, like, I remember when the date that it started, They had See's candy at work.
Okay.
And, I had one or two, and then I took a few and put them in a napkin and I was going to eat them like the next day, but then I ate them in the car on the way home and they weren't on my plan. So then I like wrote it and assessed it.
Okay.
And then the next day I'm like, I don't remember specifically. It was something that like I sat down and I had something on the couch and then I didn't really realize that I was eating on the couch until after it had happened. And then like by day three, day four, I was still kind of trying to like, okay, I'm going to do this again tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
But then it was like 7 days in a row. And I don't remember specifically what, but I remember the one that started it was the See's chocolates.
Was the See's chocolates. Okay. So yeah. So there were some at work, you took some thinking I'll eat them later. You then ate them in the car on the way home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you eat more after you got home or was that
they were
it?
Gone?
Okay.
Yeah. So it was probably a total of like six candies.
Okay. Okay. And then when you did your planning and assessing your discovery worksheet, like what did you discover from that? Like what kind of came out of what came out of that?
Just kind of remembering like I can have this chocolate, I can put it on my plan, I can save it for tomorrow. If that's something that I want to plan for tomorrow, this is a worth it thing for me.
Yes. Okay. And so did you figure out what it was that had you eating? Cause you were thinking when you left the office, you were thinking, I'll plan these for tomorrow, right? Yeah. That's why you took them thinking these are worth it. I'll plan them tomorrow. So what happened in the car that switched then to eating them in the car on the way home?
I think the thought of like, I've already eaten off plan and I'm just going to get rid of them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Very common yeah. thought. Okay. And so then you came home, you did your assessment, and then the next day you realized after you were on the couch, you were eating, and then you realized like, wait a second, I'm on the couch. I wasn't going to be eating on the couch.
Right.
Was that kind of what you remember?
And I remember what it was too. It was like my daughter had a birthday party and we had these just ice cream sandwiches in the freezer. And then I've got two teenagers and then our son has these like bags of chips. So it was like three ice cream sandwiches and three bags of chips. And I had a dinner and wasn't hungry, but yeah, I think that was like day two.
Okay. Do you remember that moment? Like when you started eating the ice cream or the bags of chips, like, do you remember any of that internal dialogue kind of between, did you take multiple of them and bring them all to the couch? Or do you like eat one thing and then get up and go get it and come back?
Yeah. It was one at a time. And, okay. And then I kept getting up and like somewhere in the middle of that, I noticed like, oh, here I am. I'm on the couch again with the TV. Like, I think there's part of me that's just trying to like soothe myself with that couch and the food. But then like when I got into it and like after multiple days of not being able to like just have one day where I can like stay on plan and not like go off the rails, and I just kind of gave up on it.
So what do you think was the dialogue about yourself not being able to stay on plan? Like what do you think kind of was that internal story of not being able to stay on plan?
I think it's that I just don't feel strong enough. Like that I can gear myself up, pony up each day to try to do it. And it's, I don't know if it's perfection. Like I'm really not, I don't think that I'm trying to be perfectionist. Like I can have like some things off plan and still like not like shame myself for it. But
let me ask you this. If you think you're not strong enough to be on plan, do you think you're planning in a way that takes strength in order to follow it?
I put a lot of options on there for snacks. Like I usually have about 5 or 6 snack options on there. Mm-hmm. So that I, like on a day that I do stick to my plan, I can choose from that like menu of snacks. And so I might have maybe some of them, 2 or 3 of them, but not all of them, and kind of stay in those guardrails. So I try to make my plans with that flexibility. But then like, I don't usually like plan for going through the ice cream and the chips in the cabinet or having the seized candy at work.
Do you plan for having moments of those? Are you planning any sort of, sweets or candy or ice cream or any of those things on a regular kind of daily basis?
Not on a daily basis, but like healthier options, like a date bar or like a smoothie, or like fruit, but not necessarily like cake or candy that I'm not putting those on there regularly. I have put them on there, but not regularly.
And what do you think, what would it be like if you were to put them on there regularly? Like what sort of thoughts would that elicit for you?
I could put it on there, but it's not like, I don't usually, maybe just like putting it on there, what I know is around, but like, say I know that there's ice cream in the house and I could put the ice cream on the plan. But like cake, we don't have in the house. Candy per se, we don't usually have in the house. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a few different ways that we can kind of look at, but one is, if you are finding yourself, particularly if you are in this period where you had 6 days in a row of binging, right? You have significant a number of days in a row where you're eating foods pretty consistently that you're not planning consistently. Mm-hmm. One strategy can be to plan for these foods every day. Maybe once a day, you just say, okay, you know, once a day, I can have a whatever you want to call it, right? You don't have to mm-hmm. get very specific about like, it's going to be this exact thing.
Right. Sometimes I write like snack of choice.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a sweet treat, right? Maybe mm-hmm. you call it a sweet treat. So then you kind of know, like, because what I'm hearing you is like, okay, well, I can have a snack, but it has to be like a quote unquote healthy snack. You know, it needs to be in the best category of the good, better, best food, mm-hmm. then those snacks are okay. But, you know, these other snacks like, you know, See's candies or ice cream bars, like those aren't really as much okay. And so if you, and also what I'm hearing is that I don't have the strength to follow my plan, which to me sounds like you're planning something that takes effort to actually follow your plan. So, you know, Corinne says we want to be like a 9 out of 10 in terms mm-hmm. of our ability and believability to follow this plan. And that's not like when everything is great and we're in a great mood and our kids are all doing what they're supposed to be doing and not fighting. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's had 8 hours of sleep. Like it needs to be when things are crazy and stressful and you really, truly can see yourself doing this. And so it might be that, you know, one strategy can be regularly planning a sweet treat or whatever you want to call it into your day, just to see what that might be like. Does that bring up other thoughts? Like, oh my gosh, I can't lose weight if I plan and I eat this stuff on a regular basis. But if you are eating it and you're binging on it on a regular basis, you're probably, and you're kind of doing it almost against yourself, mm-hmm. when you give yourself full permission to eat the things that you're eating behind your back anyway, mm-hmm. it can really change the experience a lot mm-hmm. of times. And it doesn't mean you have to have something every day. You may decide, you know what, I don't want it today, but you're giving yourself a permission slip instead mm-hmm. of eating while thinking, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm not supposed to be eating in this place. I'm not supposed to be eating these foods. You know, like I'm weak and I'm a failure because I'm doing all of these terrible things. Mm-hmm. What comes up for you when I suggest that?
Well, that's definitely something I can try. Like I could just try for a week, like putting sweet treat on my plan.
I love making sure sweet treats are worth it. You know, mm-hmm. it's like that. It's not just, you know, some thing you found under the couch, right? Because it's whatever, but giving yourself permission to have something on a daily basis. For me, it was very scary to do. I had a hard time kind of transitioning into doing that and kind of planning something every day. I kind of, in my mind, I didn't want to be that person who needed a sweet treat after every meal or whatever. But you know, to me, where I am now is if a little piece of chocolate or something after a meal is all I need and I can go about my day as opposed to binging on something for 2 hours, you know, I will totally take that. Like you know, I don't need to, I had this vision of myself as this like perfectly healthy eater who couldn't or, you know, shouldn't eat these things, especially not in the middle of the day or whatever. And when I really let go of a lot of that, it shifted a lot for me. And I am very particular about the things that I do eat and that I do choose.
I mean, I'd like to be that person who can enjoy sweet every once in a while that is really worth it and really enjoy it. That's my desire. But I don't know what to do with this feeling of feeling like not strong enough. Like when I try to get back on track each day and then I don't do it again. And then I just feel like I can't even do this.
Yeah. So I think what I really see there is the feeling it's the kind of the story that you're making about not being able to be on track. It's kind of, it sounds to me like you're telling the story of it feeling like you're feeling like a failure, that you're weak, you failed, you can't stay on plan. Right. So it's, you're very much personalizing it instead of seeing it as a, oh, okay. Like, what can I learn here? Right. Like really looking, something's not quite working here. And so how can we kind of put on the lab coat and figure out what's going on instead of putting on the judge's robe and declaring yourself weak, you know, and morally inferior? Because when we feel weak, we are going to be much less likely to be able to come back and really kind of treat ourselves then with compassion and care and understanding. So one of the things I also like to do in the, have you done the Trusting Your Body class, the course?
I have only listened to the first couple because I listen on the go a lot. And I know that you said like, we should be like with the paper and writing down. So I haven't made it all the way through yet.
Well, in that case, I mean, and really, so this is such a great example, right? It is amazing to be there and to be in person and like paying attention and taking the notes. But if that prevents you from taking it at all, like that's black and white thinking, right? Like, okay, well, I can't do it perfectly. So then I'm not going to listen at all. I can't, you know, follow my plan perfectly. You know, I had 6 candies. So now I'm going to go binge for 6 days, right? It can it can be that kind of like an example of that all or nothing thinking. Mm-hmm. Within the Trusting Your Body course, there's an amazing worksheet and it's called How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat. Okay. And what I love about it is it goes into and it really kind of examines what else was going on? Like, what are your needs? What needs do you have maybe that aren't being met? How can you find compassion for yourself through that overeat? And so when we're feeling broken, when we're feeling like we're not strong enough and we're not weak, we end up really perpetuating the cycle, which, you know, you can kind of see that's what happened, right? Multiple days in a row, because it's coming from this very place of thinking that you're broken. But if we can shift that and shift it to like really being able to understand, oh, it's a way of using the 4 N's, like normalizing this happens, like noticing, here's what happens for me, normalizing this can be a pattern, and then kind of getting to then being able to discover what else might be going on. If you know evenings on the couch are a thing for you, there right. may be some other needs that are going on that you need to kind of figure out that aren't being met, that you're trying to meet with food. So you can kind mm-hmm. of look, there's that whole angle of looking at the needs. There's also the angle of looking at your plan, what you're planning. And then the kind of the narrative and the story that you're telling yourself around what it means when you go off plan, what it means when you have 3 ice cream sandwiches and 3 bags of chips. If that then means you're weak and you can't follow your, you don't have the strength to follow a plan, mm-hmm. then of course you're not even going to plan the next day, right? Because of that narrative that you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is recognizing and kind of seeing that. And yeah. then I love to just ask the question. I mean, you're a mom, right? So like, what mm-hmm. would you say to your child if she came to you and said, like, I just feel so weak because I can't do this thing I'm trying to do. Like, what would you mm-hmm. tell her?
Like, let's do this together. We can figure this out. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I find that part that often feels very weak and feels very vulnerable and feels very helpless is often a very young part of us. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love to do if you're a journaler is to get out a piece of paper, get out your journal, and just write down, what's the matter, love? Like, and you're writing to that little girl, the little girl who needed to binge, who needed to sit on the couch and eat that food, and just ask her, what's going on? What do you need? And see what she has to say. I sometimes will take 2 different colored pens and I'll use one pen as my kind of adult self. And then I'll use the other pen as my younger self. And I will let the younger self reply. And she might say, I'm so scared. I don't know, you know, whatever she says. And then I can come back with my adult self to then help her, give her the care and the compassion, just like you would to your child. You can mm-hmm. do that. You can do that with yourself. And because there is this part of us that sometimes feels very weak, and sometimes she just needs reassurance. She needs to know everything's going to be okay. She needs to know she's loved, even if she ate all the candy and all the ice cream and all the cookies, she's yeah. still loved. And sometimes she just needs to hear that. And when she hears that, then she can stop being so scared and so afraid that she's not going to be loved, that then she's willing to then kind of get back up and try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So that can be super powerful too.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep us posted. Let us know if you're not in the Facebook group, get in the Facebook group and let us know how things are going with the changing in the plans and whatever else you discover. All right.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's see. We have another Q&A here. How do you talk to yourself throughout the day when you know you are likely to binge in the afternoon or evening? Well, Deanna, I find that it's actually a super interesting question, because how do you know? I mean, how do you know that you are likely to binge in the afternoon or evening? Now, if you think that this might the afternoon or evening maybe is a time where I know I might have urges. I mean, if you go in saying, I know I'm going to binge tonight, then you're really setting yourself up to binge, right? Now, even just that is very different than saying, I know it's very likely I might have urges tonight. That right there, just listen to the difference in conversation in even anticipating urges, maybe I'll have urges. Like, even if you say, I know I'm going to have urges, you're kind of already like calling them into existence. If you say, I know I'm going to binge tonight, not only are you calling the urges into existence, you're basically like, you're just setting yourself up. Like, I'm going to binge, it's going to happen. You're kind of already mentally rehearsing it in your head. I like to say, even if I know, for example, for me, Mondays used to be a day where I would get a lot of urges in the afternoon. So I might say, I know it's possible I could get urges today. And this is when it might happen. It might happen after lunch. It might look like this. I can be aware that it might happen, but I keep it as a possibility as opposed to a kind of certainty, so that if it doesn't happen, I can look back and be like, oh, wow, look at that. Or if it does, I can say, oh yeah, I knew this might happen, so I was prepared. So that's one thing there. The other thing is I love to then visually anticipate, like, okay, if I think it's possible I could have urges at night, maybe after the kids go to bed, maybe as soon as I sit down on the couch, I think it's very possible based on past circumstances that I might have the urge to get up and go to the pantry. You can start to visualize what that might look like, how you want to respond in that moment. When you are, before you're in that moment, when you're in a place where you're very much grounded and you're in your nervous system, kind of you're in that home-based place in your nervous system that I talk about in Trusting Your Body, which basically is just a place where you know your thinking brain is on board. When you're there, such a great time to visualize what might happen. It's kind of anticipating obstacles, anticipating what might that feel like when I'm sitting on the couch. What is that? What's that language? What is my brain going to suggest when, as far as maybe in anticipation to get up and get more food? How might I like to respond to that instead? What are kind of brainstorming things that I might want to say, or even things that I might do? Maybe when I start feeling this way, I'm going to notice, I'm actually going to get really curious. I'm going to press pause for 5 minutes. I'm going to really decide tonight, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give myself 15 minutes with that urge. And I'm just going to see, get really curious. What does it even feel like in my body? Do I even know? Do I know what an urge to binge really feels like in my body? Could I describe it to somebody else? If I got on Marco Polo with my accountability partner, could I tell her exactly how an urge feels in my body if she had never experienced one before? How would I be able to describe that in such a vivid way that she would be able to put herself in my shoes? Can I do that right now? If I can't do that right now and tell you, like, in detail what that urge feels like, well, maybe what that means is you could spend a little more time with your urge so that you actually can become intimately familiar with it and be able to describe it, know where you feel it in your body. Then you can get curious about what's the dialogue that comes along with those physical sensations. I need to eat right now. I can't handle this. We need something stat that, you know, we can try again tomorrow, whatever that dialogue is. Get really curious about that. Then you can get curious about, okay, if you've never done that before, do it for 5 minutes. If you've done it for 5 minutes, maybe do it a little bit longer. Does it change? Do the physical sensations change? Do the suggestions from your brain, do they change? You can get really curious about all of those things. So if you know the urge is coming, then you can decide ahead of time, how can I put on the lab coat? How can I do something different with this urge than I've done in the past? How can I get really curious about it, get more information, get more understanding and knowledgeable about this thing that really most of us don't know our urges that well and that intimately? What we do is we're just like, we get this feeling in our body somewhere, and then we're just like, the next thing we know, we're in the pantry, right? And we're just like, I got it. Like, I got to eat something right now. But we don't really sit with it, to get curious about it, to explore it, to just allow it to be a part of our situation. So even if you could just shift, like, okay, I know I'm going to binge tonight. What am I going to think about during the day? It's like, no. If you think you may get an urge later, let's come up with how you might want to interact with, respond with, think about it in a different way that's completely different. And then just see, like, let's just get totally curious about what that might be like for you. So that's my suggestion there. All right, let's do another live coaching. Kim, we are going to bring you on. All right, I think Kim's coming. Yes, here she comes. Kim is coming. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I can see you and I can hear you.
Okay, good. I thought yes. I didn't know I had everything turned off. Sorry. Today's my day not to do anything. So Carrie gave me the courage to raise my hand. So thank
Yay!
You.
Yay, Carrie, thank you. Awesome.
I have a lot going on. I run two businesses. My husband and I own a pizza restaurant. We've known him, owned it for 19 years, and he leaves periodically, like every 3 months or 4 months, to go do his family's business in Ghana. His dad passed away 2 years ago and his mom is 90. So he has to do that. And I have to do this. I have really bad knees. I have mobility issues. I'm trying to do the things. I make myself work. I make myself be responsible, be everybody's person, be all the things. Okay. Sorry. And what I mean by shame eating is, when I was little, my stepmother, we would sit and eat at the table. My sister has the same body type as I do. She would give her everything, like all the meal and all the things. And then she would give me little tiny portions. And then I would say out loud, now I'm 11. If I would say out loud, "Oh, I'm so hungry. You don't need that. You've had enough. Your dad had enough and he's twice the size as you." And then, you know, when they would go to bed, I would find myself downstairs in the kitchen with the light off, eating from one shelf to the other, because I was still hungry. Yeah. Hungry. And I don't know if I was hungry or if my mind was hungry or my emotions were hungry. Now I tend to do that. What I mean by no one can see me, so it doesn't count, is, you know, if I'm on a plan, if I'm counting calories from Weight Watchers in the past, nobody saw me eat that thing, so I don't have to count those points. Or if right now, if I write down, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner and my snacks, I posted in the 100-pound-plus group. My thing is, I get home at 4 a.m. I leave at 11 o'clock in the morning at work, and I don't close until 3 a.m. I get home at 4 and I want the biggest bowl of sugary cereal, not just a cup. I want a whole bowl and I want to eat it and I want to drink the milk. And I want to, if there's left, I want to have some more. And it's because I'm overwhelmed and I'm overstimulated and I know those things, but how do I, like, today's day 5 and I haven't had it, but boy, do I want that right now for some reason. And I'm not even hungry. I've already done my, I'm hungry. I ate. I threw bites away. I've had enough. I've done that already. Why do I want the cereal?
Yeah. So, have you done the Trusting Your Body course at all?
I have not. I just finished my modules yesterday.
Okay. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Yeah. So what I see for you is that what I talk about in Trusting Your Body is, I talk a lot about the nervous system and kind of the state of our nervous system. And so, as a just super brief primer, we have the place where we're grounded, where we're, you know, we're here, we're kind of able to take on challenging things. That's kind of home base. Then we have the place where we have a lot of additional energy. It's the fight or flight place. It's overwhelm. It's worry. It's anxiety. It could be fear, yeah. Frustration, right? That's where you're living right now. Okay. You're living here. You're living up above home base. Then there's below home base, which is kind of like that freeze place, which is that place where you are checked out. It can be depression. It can be hopelessness. It can be despair. There's very little energy there. So what I see for you is, you are living primarily above home base. There's a lot of energy, a lot of fight or flight, the overwhelm, the anxiety, the, you know, the stress, all of that, right? And what happens is we teach ourselves that when there's this excess energy, we can't always be up here. We just can't. You know, we need to drain some of that energy. And so we teach ourselves, often at a very young age, we teach ourselves that food can do the trick. Food can bring that energy down. Now, what happens a lot of times is it actually brings us all the way down, and then we're in the hopeless despair, you know, on the couch watching Netflix for 3 days place, right? So you may find that you're either all the way up here or you're all the way down here. And food may be a vehicle that your brain is like literally trying to protect you. It's like, we can't survive up here all the time. We're in this like survival place up here, but we can't be there all the time. So we're going to protect you by getting food to bring us down. And so it makes so much sense. So when you come home, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, your brain is on overload, your body's on overload, you're so overwhelmed, you're thinking about all of these other things that are going on, you're exhausted. It makes so much sense to me that your brain would be like, sugary cereal, mass quantities, stat now. You know, it's like, it's trying to like help you drain that. And like, even right now, you know, it's kind of like, I can sense with you just how much just excess energy is going on in your system. Mm-hmm.
Today, yeah. I'm off today. And normally on Mondays, I don't do anything. I don't get up. I don't get in the shower. I don't drink water. I posted on my accountability group. I actually did. I've been doing that since I joined, that I stay, I have bad knees. So up and down the steps is a lot for me. So once I'm up here, it's not that I'm trapped, because I can go back down the steps, but in my mind, I'm up here. Mm. If I forgot to grab my bottle of water, guess who didn't get their water last Monday? Mm. Me. Because I mean, I got some because I made myself get up and go downstairs and get some water, but that wasn't until 6 o'clock at night. And I'm not going to drink water until 3 in the morning. I could, because I always stay up till 3 in the morning, but my brain said, we're off today. We're off. We don't have to do the things because we're off, you know, when we're finally, we can calm down. We can not be upset. We cannot worry, even though I'm worrying, overstimulated, all the things still. All I wanted to do was sleep. So today I posted that I was going to get up. I did the new member meeting. I did that. I brought my water up with me last night. I got that. This is my third cup today. Like I got in the shower. It didn't look like it, but I'm making myself do things that I normally don't do on Monday.
Yeah.
I feel a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me like you probably spend.
Still not better.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like you probably spend 6 days above home base and then one day below. Right. And so, yeah. Yeah. So what I would suggest, I highly suggest going through the Trusting Your Body program and really getting a sense of kind of like what that is with your nervous system. But for somebody who spends a lot of time above home base, you're going to want to develop tools and other strategies that can help you drain that energy so that you're not. So right now, your brain has a connection between when I'm in this very high energy place, food is what will help drain that energy. And that's just, it's a connection that was formed long ago. It made so much sense, very protective mechanism for your brain, for your body. And so what we want to do is when we can start to see like, oh, this is my nervous system. This is what's happening. If I can then see this as my nervous system rather than me as a failure, a personal moral failure, you know, kind of, it's not mm-hmm. personal. It's really the state of your body. And so our nervous system is really what connects our brain and our body. And so if then you can start to learn and develop other tools to help drain that energy from your nervous system, then you won't be as likely to feel like you just need food and you need it right now. Because right now, it really, your brain, when you are in that very heightened energy place, it's a survival place in your brain. Your brain literally thinks survival is at risk. And that's why sometimes you can't even access that logical part of your brain that wrote the thing down and said, yes, this is what I'm going to eat tomorrow. Sometimes that's not even available when the brain thinks we're at risk. Our survival is at risk. It shuts all of that off and it's not even available. But when you can see this, you can start to see when your energy is way up here. You can start to gain some tools to bring that energy down. There won't be as much of a need and like that compulsion to go straight to the food because you can see, oh, I see what's happening here. I see this energy. I see that I'm above home base and you can learn and practice some of the new tools. There are a lot of tools in trusting your body. There's a whole toolkit for you of things that can help you either drain the energy or if you're in that place of like, I can't even get out of bed or off the couch, there are other ways that you can increase your energy so that you can be more in this home base place. In home base, that's where we make our plan. That's where we can follow our plan. That's where we can handle when, you know, things don't go the way we want them to, where we can kind of push ourselves a little bit out of our comfort zone to move towards our goals. But we can only do that when we're in that grounded place in our nervous system. When we're living with a whole bunch of excess energy, or when we're living with no energy at all, it's very challenging to even bring on the part of the brain that makes the plan, that follows the plan, that can journal, that can learn, that can, you know, really take things to that next level. So It makes so much sense to me what's going on with you.
And the sleep, I have a hard time getting my sleep in because there's only so many hours in the day and I'm open 17 hours of those days. I mean, 17 hours of that day. I wake up at 10 to get to work at 11. And then, as I said, we close at 3 a.m. and I don't get home till 4. And as soon as I get home, I've skipped the cereal. So I've generally built in an extra snack. So if it's just a small snack, if I need it, I eat it, you know, and then I try and go straight to sleep, but my mind won't shut off. Like I did journal last night. Last night I journaled. I couldn't. My brain was like, we got to do this. We got to do that. No, tomorrow's Monday. We don't do that. We don't do that on Monday. And my brain was like, but hey, psst, hey. And I'm like, okay, fine. Let me write it down. And then I fell asleep.
Oh, good. Yes. So yes, that's that very high energy. So sometimes that can be helpful. You can write things down. Like if sometimes people leave a little pad next to them so that if they wake up and something comes out, they can just turn over and write it down. I use meditation at night. I have meditation to fall asleep, but I use Insight Timer. There's also the Calm app, either one. They're both free. They're both have a ton of sleep meditations. And I have a handful that I listen to every night. And that is what helps me kind of unwind my additional energy and kind of help me. And then what happens is when you do that on a regular basis, then your brain and your body just know,
it's time to go to bed.
I know what this means. Yeah.
Okay.
Two other things for you. One is just a tactical thing. Do you personally have to be there all 17 hours? Is that not something that?
Right now, it's just my husband and I, and I do have a manager that I can lean on a lot, and I do lean on him. As I said, I have mobility issues. He does the hard work basically that my husband normally does, the physical that I can't do. But he's only available for like 4 or 5 days, and he's trying to give me 5 days, but he has a lot going on. And then it makes me feel guilty when I ask him to give me that extra day, because I know he has a lot going on. And then I have two other people that I lean on to help. But generally I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's just something to look at, you know, maybe you need some additional help, you know, and that's something you can look at, but you've got to realize the human body is only capable of so much. And so if you keep pushing it, there's only so much, the body's going to respond in ways if you keep pushing beyond what it is capable of doing on a long term. It's just like with food, right? We don't ever condone restricting high amounts or for long periods of time or whatever, because the body is going to rebel against that, right? Mm-hmm. We all know you can be on some restrictive diet for a short period of time, and then all of a sudden you're eating everything. So it's going to be the same. If you are pushing yourself with 18 plus hour days, multiple days in a row, your body is not meant to handle that. So when you're looking at your needs, entrusting your body does a lot of work around looking at your needs. You've got to acknowledge and admit and own your own limitations as a human. And you may be taking on more right now than your physical and emotional body can take. And so that's something that you have to look at too. No amount of just planning your food for 24 hours is going to address something if you are asking your body to do something beyond really truly what it's physically capable of.
I have the food part, I have more of a handle on, as I said, 5 days. I have been able to bring my food with me. As I said, I own a restaurant. So if I don't bring better choices with me, I will eat pizza. I will eat things that I don't plan for, because I know in my body, for my body, for the my mobility issues, if I eat a lot of gluten, it makes my knee hurt really bad. In my body, it makes my knee hurt really bad.
Yeah.
So I know if I don't bring meat to make a, you know, to make a wrap or just to make a bowl without gluten, I know I'm going to be hurting more on top of not sleeping. So I have hopefully gotten that down.
Yeah.
I did ask my manager that can't give me that extra 5 days to come and give me a break this week. If he gives me a 2 hour break in the middle of the day, whether I sleep or I just maybe meditate, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
In that 2 hours, at least it's more than a straight 17. I don't know what else to do to fix that until I can get somebody to apply, but I did hear
put your brain to work on it. Check out the Trusting Your Body course. You've got lots of great stuff to work on, but I mean, it definitely where you are now makes sense, and you can work with it. You can learn how to work with your nervous system and really come up with other strategies and really, really work with yourself so that you're not setting yourself up to be emotionally and physically exhausted. Because when any of us are emotionally and physically exhausted, whether you've got weight to lose or not, many of us turn to food when there is that pure emotional and physical exhaustion. So you've got to make sure you're taking care of all of your needs through the process.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for raising your hands.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, let's do one or two more Q&As and then we'll get wrapped up here. Okay, any suggestions on how to sit through the uncomfortable feelings during the urge? Sometimes it feels overwhelming and the only way to calm down is to eat the urge. So this is such a great question. And this is a very common, what I believe is a misunderstanding, is people think that when you eat, the urge goes away. Now, it might temporarily go away. But what you've got to realize is when you are eating in response to an urge, what you're actually doing is you're inviting it to come back the next time. So our brain makes associations between sometimes feelings, it could be circumstances, it could be events, it could be whatever. Our brain likes to make connections. So we sometimes have, like, let's say the couch after dinner, or maybe it's a feeling of frustration, or maybe it's a feeling of overwhelm. Our brain makes this connection between that feeling, that place, maybe it's that person, and then what we have maybe done or felt there in the past. So that's why we get these connections to, oh, well, one time I was really upset and I sat on the couch and then I ate some cookies and then, I wasn't upset anymore. So the brain makes that connection. And so what we can do is realize that connection is there, but we can also like unhook that connection. So the urge is if we eat every time we sit on the couch, then our brain makes that connection with eating, sitting on the couch and then eating. And so that it's going to, that actually then is going to bring the urge back. If I keep eating when I sit on the couch, then when I sit on the couch, I'm much more likely to have those urges to eat. Now, the reality is if I get that urge when I sit on the couch and I don't respond to it, I don't eat, the urge is going to pass on its own. It might be uncomfortable. It might scream and have a little toddler temper tantrum for a few minutes, and then it will be gone. And then the more we let that child have the temper tantrum, the less what we're doing is we're unhooking that association. So the question then becomes, which is what you're asking, is how do I allow the temper tantrum to happen? And number one, it's kind of like realizing the reason we let toddlers kind of do the thing with their temper tantrums and let them like cry it out or whatever. We don't want to respond to them because we don't want them to learn that every time they have a temper tantrum, they get what they want. Because then what does that mean? More tantrums, right? If you let them know, hey, you know what? If you have a tantrum, I'm not going to pay attention to you. Like you're not getting what you really want from me with that kind of behavior. That's what we do with temper tantrums to help them drain them, to help them dissipate the tantrum and realize, oh, I'm not really going to get what I want if I have a tantrum. Maybe I'll figure something else out. That's the same thing with our urges. You can think about it as a toddler. So when you have an urge, that uncomfortable situation, like, all right, this is a little temper tantrum right now going on. What would I say to that toddler? You can plan in advance, like we were talking about earlier. The next time my little toddler temper tantrum comes up, what do I want to say to, how do I want to respond to that tantrum and let the tantrum, let him cry, him or her cry it out. And so that it will go away so that we won't keep having these tantrums. We won't keep having these urges every time I sit on the couch. Cause I don't know about you, but I plan on sitting on the couch every night, probably for the rest of my life. So if I can unhook that by letting there be some tantrums, then we unhook that association and pretty soon I'll be able to sit on the couch without the tantrums, without that connection. And then I'm going to be creating new connections and new hooks, like, you know, sitting with my spouse or watching a great show or whatever it is that I really want to be doing with my time on the couch in the evenings. All right, everybody. I hope this was helpful for you. Keep in mind what you want to take away from this call to apply to your own life and to your own situation. You can always find me in the Facebook Binge Support subgroup, and we will see you guys online. Bye.